Heavenly Father, we've just sung that you are good and faithful, that you are strong and kind. Father, we ask for your mercy upon us as we hear your word this morning. Help me to speak well. Help me to speak in a truthful way that will encourage all of us to be better servants of the Lord Jesus. And we do pray these things for his name's sake. Amen. Friends, please be seated. When was the last time you did a good deed for someone? Maybe the last time you were at the coffee shop, did you give a tip? When was the last time you visited someone who was sick or maybe sad? Have you ever seen people needy in the street? I don't know whether you have needy people in the streets here at Shoal Haven, but it's very easy to turn your face away, isn't it? What about bringing food for Anglicare? Over at Coromel Anglican Church there, we have a lot of people who are needy. And that's a big thing. We bring food to Anglicare, and Anglicare comes to us and gives to those people who are in need. Have you ever picked somebody up to take them shopping? Offering yourself to serve, maybe at the last working bee. Have you ever been to a working bee? Yeah. When you go out with others for coffee, are you the first or last to open up your purse or your wallet? Don't you hate that? There are some people that they're always, forgot my wallet. Have you ever helped your neighbour with their lawns or garden? When was the last time you invited someone to church? Are you doing good? In our verse for the day, Proverbs 3:27, we are told, do not withhold good from those whom it is due when it is in your power to act. So firstly, why do good? Well, friends, the first thing, it makes us feel good. We were created in the image of God, and by nature, God is good. He's the doer of good. We've just sung about it. It feels good when we do good, when we do the right thing. It nourishes our soul. It's satisfying when we do what God does. And it actually says that in Proverbs. It's blessed to give. And in the New Testament. Secondly, it blesses the other person. The Bible continually challenges us, encourages us to bless, to pray, to forgive the other person. Even in this last week, there were a couple of people who actually thanked me for being here and so on. And I was very very encouraged. It was very humbling. And it does strengthen you when you encourage someone. And that's what encouragement means, you know, to give someone courage so that they might continue. I mentioned that at Coromel we have this food pantry where people from the Coromel area come to receive food. So they pay a minimal amount and they can choose food. And my wife Debbie has been meeting with this one particular lady who's really, you know, struggling. She's been coming to church, not a Christian. We mowed her lawns some time ago, only once. The grass has grown again. But she was very grateful, and it opened up room for the gospel. Like I said, she's not a Christian, but it's doing good for the sake of the gospel. Thirdly, we are commanded to do good. In that reading, that second reading that Neville read to us, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. And Proverbs again says, do not withhold good. Folks, I know, we all get tired. We don't always get encouraged for what we do. But you know what? God wants, he doesn't want us to be quitters. He wants us to be faithful in doing good for each other, even if it means we don't ever get thanked. And that's hard, isn't it? To continue doing good when we never get thanked. That's why we should encourage one another. But we can find ourselves asking the question, why should I keep on doing my bit when there are other people sitting home bludging? Why should I bother? Why should I bother? What good does it really, really do? Why should I do this ministry when people criticise me? Friends, the command to do good has a purpose. It's part of God's will. We may not always see it. We are commanded to do good. Fourthly, we will reap a reward. There's always a promise of reward in heaven for what we do on earth. Did you know that? If we really sacrifice for others, we can't expect much reward in heaven, can we? There is a judgment how we live this life. Friends, please don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about a heaven and hell judgment. Our judgment, the fact that we are forgiven and go into heaven, is because of the goodness of Jesus. When he went to that cross, when he died on that cross for your sin and mine, when he rose from the dead so that we can share in the resurrection. We're not talking about that judgment. There is a judgment for believers. And Jesus is either going to say to you and to me, well done, good and faithful servant, or the opposite. Or we'll be rebuked by the Lord Jesus for our slackness to do good. And what is the greatest good we can ever do? Well, I hinted at before. It's befriending other people for the sake of the gospel. You know, when there was a time ago when it was only after a couple of years after we got married, we were living in Miranda for a little while, and the next door neighbour, I was barely a Christian, or just a new Christian, I can't remember now, but I remember the next door neighbour, he cut my lawn. Big Ernie, he's probably dead now. But that had an incredible impact on me. We became good friends. Just that his little act, and he wasn't a Christian man, mind you, but that act of just cutting my lawns after he cut his, I was so moved. I was really humbled. I thought, wow, I didn't even ask for him to do that. And folks, over the years, I've always remembered that, and I've always tried to do that wherever I lived. When I lived at Camden, I did the same to my next door neighbour. I only did it a couple of times, and we're still good mates. Nah, he's not a Christian man, but he's been to church a couple of times. He knows. I just prayed that he's on the journey to become a Christian. My next door neighbour at Winoona, he's the same. We've had a good friendship because we do things for each other. He's been to church a number of times at Carmel. But folks, sometimes when we show acts of kindness, sometimes when we do good to others, they are more open to your invitation. Folks, we need to remember too that why do we do good is because we're doing it for Jesus. Can I read to you Jesus says in Matthew 25, "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." They will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." You see what Jesus is saying? When we do good for others, we're actually doing it for Jesus. But conversely, when we withhold goodness, we are robbing Jesus of goodness and honour. You see, when we slander, when we create ungodly innuendo, even when we persecute one another, we're actually doing it to Jesus. Do you remember the story of Paul, Saul of Tarsus, when he was walking down the road of Damascus? And Jesus appeared to him, and Saul at this time, he was a persecutor of Christians. He was killing Christians. He was a murderer. He was trying to wipe out Christianity. And Jesus said to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? You see, when we slander, create ungodly innuendo, when we actually persecute Jesus, when we do it to one another. When we do good to each other, we do good for Jesus. When we hurt and think ill of one another, we malign Jesus. And lastly, it's a response to the goodness of God. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Again, folks, let me stress this. We are not saved by our good works. We are not saved by the things that we do. We are saved by the goodness of Jesus, by the grace of God in the Lord Jesus, by what happened on that first Good Friday. In response to God's goodness to us, God is telling us, be good, as a way of being thankful. Folks, if we are not putting ourselves out for others, we haven't really got an understanding of the goodness of God. And Robin prayed that we may not take for granted God's goodness. What a good prayer. And we so often do, don't we? I know I do. We've got to hold on. We've got to come back to that cross. God has not held back any of his goodness to us. His goodness came at a great cost. Think about it. We have received forgiveness. We have received cleansing of conscience. We're family, adopted in the family of God. We have a great hope. We have purpose and meaning in life. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the promise of heaven. We live in a great country, Australia. We live in the best suburb. Folks, there has been a lot of good given to us. And doing good to others will only uplift others and will nourish their souls. And when we do it, it will put a smile on God's face. It glorifies him. Our faith flourishes when we exercise a generous spirit. So who do we do good to? Well, firstly, to the church family. Again, in Galatians 6, therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. Our first priority is to the needs of the church, his people. One of my favourite passages in the Bible is Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. And it talks about, this is the early church, and they met in someone's home, and we read, they devoted themselves to the word of God. They devoted themselves to prayer. They devoted themselves in sharing with one another. They devoted themselves as they shared the Lord's Supper. Heck, there were even some people who were selling property and giving it to those who were in need. Folks, church is a family, isn't it? Isn't it? We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's interesting in that passage in Acts 2, the word together comes three or four times. They did it together. They did it together. Not everyone gets this, and I'm not saying you don't. But for many people, many Christians, church is a place where you come to once a week. Whereas it should be an opportunity to share with God's family, to help and encourage one another. I hope you don't think I'm showing off, but in nearly all of the churches I've been to, particularly at Beverly Hills in Camden, I started up this Bible study called Men at Six. That means we met at 6 a.m. on a Wednesday morning. Nice and early, especially when it was dark in wintertime. But I was trying to get onto the tradies. In fact, for some of the tradies, it was too late. But at Camden, we had about 25 blokes regularly. They used to get bacon and eggs, a full-on breakfast. We only used to meet for an hour. I used to do a short Bible study, and we used to pray afterwards. And it was a really great fellowship for some of those tradies, for some of those guys, and retired men, because some of those people just found it too hard to go to a Bible study at night because they were getting up early and so on. But I remember there was one particular time where there was this one fella who had been diagnosed with MS, and he had just lost his job, and he was on a real low. He was feeling real down. And one of the guys, when he wasn't there, suggested, well, why don't we all chip in and help this bloke until he gets a job? And folks, I want to say it's probably, and not in a sinful way, probably one of the most proudest times in ministry. And it wasn't my instigation. These blokes just got together. And they basically said, you know, if you can chuck in 20, if you can chuck in 10, whatever you can chuck in, we'll give it to this bloke in need. And over $200 a week this guy was receiving. And he knew where it was coming from. He didn't know who it was. But he was just so thankful that he was that the family of God was working together. Folks, there is nothing better than the church of God when it's working like the church of God. Who do we do good to? To the church family, to those who need it or deserve it. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it's in your power to act. So in other words, people who are struggling, maybe just have your ears open, maybe have your eyes open. There may be some people who are struggling. We know, we've just heard of that one particular gentleman, Anthony Bryant. He's going to be struggling for a while, isn't he? Great opportunity to show love and concern, goodness to him. But folks, we need to be open. We need to be looking. I know we all have limited resources. I know we all have limited time and energy. And I know we can't respond to everyone's need. But you know what? Don't use that as an excuse to do nothing. And I really do hate it when I hear Christians say, oh, I can't do that, I can't do that, I can't do that. And then I'll ask them, well, what are you doing? Oh, nothing. Folks, don't do that. We need wisdom in our judgments. Some are unable to get a full-time job. There are some people who don't want a job and don't deserve it. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, just quickly, there were these Christians who were waiting for the Lord's return. You know, Jesus is coming. And they really thought Jesus was coming next week or maybe the week after. And what happened? They just gave up their job and they just became bludgers. They're waiting for the Lord's return. And Paul lets them have it. He says, if they don't work, they shouldn't eat. I remember there was a guy living across my sister's place, and he was a little bit like that. He knew I was a minister, and I remember when I used to visit my sister, he would be out the front, and he would wave out, "The Lord is coming!" And he, you know, the grass was knee high, you know, the house looked awful, and I felt like shouting back a couple of times, "He won't come until you do all your lawns and..." The Apostle Paul was basically saying we need to be careful that we don't become lazy and idle. But there are other people who are legitimately need help through no fault of their own. And folks, sometimes it's hard to work out who's legitimate or not. And I think it's always better to err on the side of generosity. Sometimes showing an act of kindness, we do that to people who can reciprocate. And that's fine. Let me read to you what Jesus says in Matthew 5:46. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? The tax collectors were considered to be one of the worst sinners. And so sometimes we can fall into, oh yeah, I'm going to do an act of goodness, but I'll do it to Mary Lou, because I know next week Mary Lou invite me back to her place. Why not the poor? Why not the disadvantaged? Why not those who are struggling? Why not those who you know can't reciprocate, who are neglected, not like us? To those who need it or deserve it, and thirdly, to the church's gospel work. Paul in 2 Corinthians 8 says, excel in the grace of giving. He says, I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnesty of others. And elsewhere in 1 Timothy 5, he says, the worker deserves his wages. Paul in Corinthians is challenging the Christians, particularly the Corinthian Christians, to be generous. And what he does, he looks at the Macedonian Christians, and they were a lot poorer, but they were giving more generously to the work of the gospel. And he's saying to these Corinthians, guys, look at these blokes over here. They're nowhere near as well off as you guys. Get your act together. Now, we all know that ministry costs money. You've got to pay for a minister, don't you? Yeah. I'm on double time on Sunday, by the way. That would have been good, wouldn't it? But folks, we know we need the upkeep of ministry. I've been hearing that you're looking at painting the building. We've done the carpet and we've done the windows and things like that. And that's fantastic. I know there's a thing there that I'm fighting with, a photocopier that doesn't like me and I don't like it. We need a new photocopier. There's probably a number of things the wardens will tell you what we need. Our monetary gift matters, because if we want ministry to happen we need to have those backing up tools, if you want. Direct giving is really helpful. It helps us to give regularly. Has anyone ever heard of the Pareto principle? No one? Well, the Pareto principle is 20% of the people do 80% of the work. 20% of the people give 80% of the money. And sadly, that comes right across the church and it doesn't change that much. And one of the jobs I've always seen as my ministry is try to 20%, 80%, try to make it 30, 70, and maybe even 40, 60. Please be prayerful about your generosity. It's a heart thing, folks. I don't want to put anyone on guilt trips or anything like that. It's a heart thing. Jesus came to seek and save the lost, and we as a church can do that when we are generous. We can win people for Christ. Well, how do we do that? It says, not reluctantly. Proverbs 3 again, do not withhold good from those who it is due when it is your power to act. If we are created in the image of God, we are to be generous in doing good with our time, with our money. Doing good grudgingly doesn't please God. We know about that, don't we? No doubt, Robin and Neville, when Christy was growing up, you said to her, Christy, take out the garbage bin. And if Christy turned around and said, oh, I don't want to take out the garbage bin, but I'll do it. Oh, take out the garbage bin, slams the door, comes in. Not that I ever think you would do that. Never. But I think you know what we're talking about. When our kids do something grudgingly, reluctantly, we think, oh, geez, I won't ask them again. And folks, I think it's a little bit the same in our ministry, in our giving. God doesn't want us to do it grudgingly, reluctantly, but cheerfully. 2 Corinthians 9, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give to what they have decided in their heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Friends, if we do things reluctantly or under compulsion, we have forgotten the generosity of God. And as I said before, we need to come to the cross, because what happened at the cross is unprecedented. What happened at the cross is unbelievable. It's unequaled. Unequaled. Are we really generous in doing good? And are we doing it cheerfully as a way of saying, thank you, Jesus? You know, we live in a great country. We live in a great suburb. and we have many blessings, but do we really believe it's from God? Because if we do, we are stewards of everything that God gives us. That means we are servants of what God has given us. You will reap what you sow. If you're a scab in doing good, as the guy in the video, chances are good won't come back to you. And finally, just quickly, when do we do good? When it is in your power to act. You remember the story of the Good Samaritan? There was this fellow who got beaten up and he's lying in the gutters, all bleeding and hit up. And there comes a Jewish priest. And what does he do? What does he do? He goes on the other side of the road, turns a blind eye. Then there's a Levite guy. He does the same thing. He sees that, I'm getting out of here. He goes on the other side. And then there comes a Samaritan bloke who is, you can say, an unreligious bloke. And he shows what it means to be good. He shows what it means to be a good neighbour. And this Good Samaritan tended the guy's wounds. He gave him a lift. He took him to the motel. And he came back the next morning and basically said to the motel guy, if there's any more money needed, then I'll fix him up. And Jesus, we read, commended the Good Samaritan. And you know what he did? He commanded, and I think he's commanding his disciples, to do likewise. Do likewise. That's the last words of that story. Folks, again, I want to say to you, I know we have limited bank balances. I know we have time restraints. But take a risk, won't you? Take a risk. Test God. In Malachi, Malachi is talking about tithing. And he basically said, test me in this. And see, I will not, flood your, whatever they were, their barrels full of food and all that stuff. God is promising blessing. Test God. You will never be shortchanged. God is good. We are the people of God. And we are to do good and be good. Do not withhold good from those whom it is due when it is in your power to act. Let me pray for us. Our Heavenly Father, we do recognise that you are so good. And Father, we pray that will be the motivation by which we do good. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit might open our hearts, open our minds, so that we might see the opportunities to do good for our community, to do good for our church family, and to do good for you. Father, we please help us not to take for granted your goodness to us. Father, we just want to thank you for your love for us. We want to thank you that we are special in your sight. And we do pray these things for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.